Ladies and gentlemen, it's so wonderful to be here again this Advent evening. And again, you know, the reason that we do this Advent is because God's grace is much bigger than we think it is. You know, if we don't actually examine our lives and see all the sin, we don't fully realize everything that God did when he forgave us. You know, and so it's such a good season to examine ourselves and to see exactly how gross things actually are. Not so that we'll sit and feel bad about it, not so that we'll wonder if we're worth saving, not so that we wonder if Jesus loves us, but because we know Jesus loves us, we will then take those sins to the cross, receive forgiveness, and live in grateful adoration for the one who'd made it possible for us to be forgiven. And so that's the point of this season, is to learn, gratitude, you know. So let us begin our worship service tonight. And we begin remembering the day that we were brought into the family of God through the gift of baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for this beautiful day that you have given us, Lord, another day that we get to live in worship for you. Lord, I pray that you would work among us this evening, Lord, through your word, that we would be able to better understand the depth and richness of your grace and your forgiveness. Thank you for loving us so much. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Let's sing. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sins. I have lived as if you did not matter, and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt, and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this, and I ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I forgive you your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. First reading tonight comes from Psalm 51, verses 1 through 5. Now, this is a very significant confession to God. It was written by David right after his, issue with Bathsheba. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. And then the gospel, or the reading for the message this morning, is Genesis chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. Now, I mean, this is the part where, Adam and Eve sinned. Eve ate the apple, gave it to Adam. The fruit, whatever. It's always an apple in my head, you know, so the cartoon that goes. And then of course they hid when God came into the garden. And when God finally confronted them and said, what is it you've done? Here's what happens. The man said, the woman you put with me, she gave me some of the fruit from the tree and I ate it. Then the Lord said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So what we are doing on these Wednesday nights is we are looking at the various ways that we don't deal with the sin in our lives. The ways that we, last week we talked about how we push blame on others. And this week we're going to be talking about, this week we're talking about how we push blame on others. And this is something that we've done for a really long time. I mean, obviously, Adam and Eve, first sin. What was their first move? Blame somebody else, right? And we do this all the time, right? Us men, when we put a little weight on, whose fault is it? Our wives. Why? Because their cooking is so good, right? Yeah, it's like a backhanded compliment. You're responsible for my sin, but we do this stuff, what are all the sins that we blame on somebody else? Anger, right? Because after all, the reason I'm angry is because there's so many dumb people in the world. If only these people would be thoughtful, kind, considerate, and competent generally at their jobs, I wouldn't have to be angry all the time. Isn't that right? I mean, we start with this one right from the beginning too, right? I mean, anybody with children knows that when somebody gets mad, it's because they made me mad, right? And then there's the selfishness, Why don't I help my neighbor in need? Well, I would help my neighbor in need, but I don't have enough stuff. If only God would give me more stuff, then I could be more generous. And this is one of our favorite moves, is that if you can't blame another person, blame God, right? Because if God is the one that provides all things, then he's the one that didn't give me enough to be generous. Well, does that wash? I mean, really, truly, do we really believe that we don't have more than we need? And if you believe this, I want you to sign up for the next Guatemala trip. I want to show you people who have so much less than we do and somehow are more grateful than we are. There are so many ways that men lust, right? I mean, when our eyes look in places they shouldn't. But how is it our fault? It's a billboard on the highway. I mean, it's sitting right there. How can I not see it? Right? I mean, we can blame anybody for anything. The problem is, when we do this, we are stunting our growth as Christians. The idea of the living the Christian life is that in the beginning, at baptism, we receive a new life. Jesus takes the guilt of our sin away, and we receive credit for his perfection. So that when the Father looks at us, we are perfect. And the rest of our lives is us trying to approach what God has already done in us, that we would fight against the sin in our lives, that we would try to eradicate it, that we would, out of grateful love and devotion to the one who redeemed us, try to live our lives in a way that would bring him honor and glory. It's what praise and worship is in its most important essence. The songs that we sing intending to do this are great. Actually doing it is even better, right? And so if the goal is for us to free ourselves of the sin, and instead of taking credit for the sin, taking responsibility for the sin, we push it off on others, are we ever going to get rid of it? I mean, think about it like this. The last argument you had with a sister, brother, spouse, whatever, right? If I ask you what the argument's about, most of the time what people are going to say is, well, they said this and they did this and they did that. It's why we had the argument, right? Well, now go back at that argument again. Settle the brain down and look at what you contributed to the problem. You know what I'm saying? What did you say that was unkind and unloving? What did you do that was not considerate? How did you make the situation worse? This is what we're talking about, is that we need to actually take responsibility for it. Because here's the thing, as soon as you take responsibility for what you did in that conversation, now you have an opportunity to, number one, take it to God, take it to Jesus and be forgiven. But the other side is that you have the opportunity to ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life and to help you overcome that sin of selfishness, of pride, of whatever it was that caused you to do what you did. And now you have an opportunity to grow. You see how this is? Don't take responsibility, no growth. Take responsibility, and you have the chance to fight the sin. Now, as we are going through this season, I mean, what I want, again, we talked about fasting last time, right? We talked about what the beauty of fasting is, that it's annoying. You know, it like every time you turn around, it's like the hunger is getting you, right? Or every time you're about to reach for a cup of coffee, you realize I can't have that. Or every time, you know, whatever it is that is a big part of your life, that's what we're looking to give up. Because then every time you rub up against that and are irritated by it, you are reminded to meditate and to think about your sin. So as you go through this week, as you are annoyed by whatever it is you're giving up, I want you to think about everything, that all the interactions that you've had in your life since the last time you stopped to think. And I want you to revisit them with the concept or the question, what did I do? How did I contribute to the bad? What could I have done to bring more good? How could I have brought healing to the situation? What did I neglect to do, or what did I do? Not so that we'll sit around and feel bad, right? Because here's the thing. If we don't take credit for all the sins, but we have faith in Jesus, are we still forgiven? Does that mean we just don't have to worry about it? We can just go through life and not take credit for the sin? No. Why? Because we've been forgiven so much. The Bible tells us that the one who is forgiven much loves much. The one who forgives, who is forgiven little loves little. The truth is, we all have been forgiven much. We just don't always remember that. And unless we actually look at our sin, we don't recognize how much we've been forgiven. And so we feel like we were forgiven little. And then we love little. You get it? This season of Lent is a beautiful time. It's a time that we can really truly come into a much more profound relationship with God because our relationship with God is clarified. That we understand what an enormous thing Jesus did for us on the cross. It wasn't that he dusted off a few external things that we did wrong or a few errant words. He rescued us who were desperately lost, utterly corrupt, completely a mess. And he chose to love us and paid the ultimate price so that we could spend eternity with him. So this is the assignment. Let's dive in. Look into that perfect mirror of God's law. See what God has to show you. And then invite the Spirit in to clean up the mess. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this evening. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to recognize that we are the problem. That we are the ones who bring discord. We are the ones who are arrogant. We are the ones who are prideful. We are the ones who are selfish. We are the ones who are thoughtless. We are the ones who cause problems and pain in this world. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see the places we fail so that we can fight these sins. And in so doing, bring glory to you, the one who redeemed us. Thank you, Lord, for all this. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Please stand as we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the light resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you have given us another day to worship you, another day to live out the new lives that you have given us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to show us, Lord, our sin, not so that we would feel bad, not so that we would be guilty before you, but so that we could rejoice before you because of your incredible and overwhelming forgiveness. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would all the people of our congregation, Lord, especially those who are going through times of difficulty, times of struggle with health, finances, relationships, Lord, all the different ways that we struggle because of sin in our lives. I pray, Lord, that you would make your presence known in their lives, hold them in your arms, provide them all that they need, Lord, so that they, Lord, can have the peace and of your assurance and your love in all circumstances. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the families that you have given us, for the children, whether they're little tiny children or great big kids, Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with our children. Lord, give us opportunities to continue to grow, help them to grow in their faith. Help us, Lord, to show them your love, so that they, Lord, can always, so that they can pass that love on as well. All these things we bring before you today, Lord, and we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
To the dark.
Receive our Lord's blessing tonight. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Please stand as we sing the final song together. Thank you for being here this evening and taking part in this worship service. And I ask that God would continue to bless you as you go through the Lenten season in preparation for the incredible festival of Easter. God's blessings on your week.